So the reading is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Thank you, Mandy. Let me read to you a verse as we start our third in our little session of three sermons on suffering. And the first verse from Romans chapter 8. Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." Let's pray for God's help as we study God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we know that unless your Holy Spirit opens our eyes to your word, we will never understand your truth for us. Please have mercy on us. Please help us to understand, whether it be for the first time or for those of us who've been following Jesus for many years. Please help us to persevere through suffering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to introduce you to a lady called Florence Chadwick. And some of you might have heard the story of Florence Chadwick before. She's an amazing lady. She died a few years ago, but she was a long-distance swimmer. And she used to swim long distances in the 50s. And once she was swimming between Catalina Island, off the coast of Los Angeles, to the mainland of California. And that's about 26 miles. So I think that's a little bit longer than crossing the channel or a similar amount. And it was a foggy day. And she couldn't see the destination. She had a support boat with her, and she was swimming. This woman was hugely strong an amazing swimmer, but she just got to the point where as much as she tried, as much as she battled, as much as she tried to fight the fatigue and the tiredness, she just knew she couldn't continue. And so she got into the rescue boat and she stopped her crossing of the Catalina Strait. Unbeknown to her, she was only half a mile from the destination. She just kept going just a little bit more. She would have been just there. And she actually did it a second time, and it was a beautiful clear day, and she did it, no problems. She got to the other side. She said about the first crossing, it was the fog. I could have finished, but when you can't see your goal, you lose sense of progress, and you begin to give up. Well, my dear brothers and sisters, as Christians, if you're following Jesus, we have an amazing destination that we're heading for. And that is the destination of the new heaven and the new earth. And what I want us to do today is to, as it were, lift the fog and see more clearly the hope that we have of heaven. So we're going to look today at this theme of heaven and how that helps us with our suffering. If you've been away the last couple of weeks, you won't know that we've been working through sort of the storyline of the Bible and what it says, both in the sort of shape of the Bible, but also in some extracts from the Bible on the theme of suffering. And if you've missed things, get the podcast, get the downloads of the talks and the handouts, which we produce each week. And today there's a sheet for you to take away with extra Bible verses that our life group came up with on the theme of suffering. So if you've missed things, just go to the website and you can pick up what you've missed. But in week one, we started with the creation and the fall. We looked at how God is a good creator, and just because things have gone wrong doesn't make him hasn't changed God. He's still a good and great creator. But then when humanity turned its back on God, suffering came into the world, what we call the fall. Then you go through the Bible, and what we looked at last week was the coming of Jesus Christ, and in particular his death on the cross, his death and resurrection, but specifically his death, because Jesus himself entered into suffering. He's not a God who closes his eyes. He himself has suffered with us and suffered for us. Now we then have a decision with what we are going to do, whether we're going to trust in Jesus or whether we're going to reject Jesus. If we reject Jesus, well, there were some strong words in our reading this morning about separation from God, about not being with him forever. And the Bible and Jesus himself was very clear about both the teaching on heaven and on hell, two realities. But if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, then we look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what this passage from Revelation 21 is all about. So I hope you've got that open in front of you. And we speak about heaven for shorthand, but Revelation 21 verse 1 onwards, a new heaven and a new earth. So let's have a think about this first of all. And we've just got one main point today, and I'll spell that out as we go along. And then a bit of practical help, if there's time, for how we can help people in their suffering, how we can help someone else. So first of all, the hope of heaven. The hope of heaven. And in Revelation 21, we can think about what's there in the new heaven and the new earth and what isn't there. And it was really helpful with Tash to think about the now and the then, what to look forward to. And as we saw with her, what is there? Well, a perfect relationship. Did you see that here? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. The Bible begins with a wedding in the Garden of Eden, and it ends with a wedding. And if we're followers of Jesus, we're part of that heavenly banquet. We are the bride. There's a lot of picture language here and imagery, and it's hard to get our heads around a lamb and a city and a bride and all these things. But if we belong to Jesus, we're part of that great bride, the bride of Jesus Christ. And that's the most wonderful thing about heaven, is that we'll be face to face with God. We'll be with Jesus. There's a guy called Ted Donnelly, and he's written an excellent book called Heaven and Hell, looking at the Bible's teaching on both, and both are clearly taught in the Bible. But he says that it's not too difficult thinking about heaven. And in fact, you could even teach a child this. He said, the Bible's favorite way of describing heaven is not in the least hard to understand, but so clear that a child can grasp it. In the New Testament, heaven means being with Jesus. If you want to borrow my book to read everything he says, you're very welcome to. But just take that sentence away. Heaven is being with Jesus. Just think how awesome it was to be with Jesus on earth. The most loving, kind, powerful person. And we get to be with him. With all our sins forgiven. Face to face with Jesus. So there's so much to look forward to in heaven. What's there? A perfect relationship with Jesus. But actually, we've already been seeing what isn't there. First of all, no sea. Now, that's a bit strange for Florence, who was a swimmer. I don't think if you're a surfer or a beach lover, that means that heaven's going to be in any way negative. I think what it's speaking about is that sea, which in the Jewish and Hebrew thinking meant chaos, the chaos and the separation has been taken away. Because seas, some of us have got loved ones overseas, seas separate us. And wonderfully, there's no sea, there's no separation. So no longer any sea, verse 1. No tears. Isn't that amazing? I wonder what made you cry. I wonder what made you cry last time round. Whether that was a long time ago or just yesterday or this morning. Well, there's no tears in heaven. Maybe it was a bereavement, an injury, a fear, a relationship in tatters, loneliness, physical pain, or something else. No more tears. Because if you're following Jesus, you'll be with him in the new heaven and the new earth where all of the following have been taken away. No more death. No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. It's just worth pausing on these things, isn't it? Take this verse home and think about it in your own time. Jesus making all things new. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I don't know if anyone's ever done that to you, wiped away your tears. Maybe when you were a little child, Jesus himself is going to wipe away our tears. No more death. Or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Just lift the fog from your discouragement and doubt this morning and see the destination that we have to look forward to. Heaven will be amazing. Tash had a few things that aren't going to be in heaven. The ibuprofen, and what else was it? The helmet and the tissues. Here's my little list. Here's just a few of them. Are you ready? No mosquito stings or financial stings. No viruses in our blood or on our computers. No bed bugs, stomach bugs, or programming bugs. No broken bones, broken relationships, broken hearts. No hearses, hospitals, hankies. No comas, no chemo, no cancer. No anxiety. No addictions, no antidepressants. Heaven will be amazing. We've been reading through the Narnia books with our girls. I don't think I'll read all of this quote, but it's the last few words of the last book that C.S. Lewis wrote in that seven-book series of The Last Battle. And towards the end, he says, speaking of the children following Aslan, this was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page, just like the front page of a book. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. So there's so much to look forward to in the hope of heaven. But let's just extend that a little bit more. The hope of heaven is built on reality. We might think, oh, Charlie, it's all very well talking about heaven, but it's just pie in the sky when you die. And maybe you're not yet a follower of Jesus. And you think it's lovely to have this hope, but to be honest, it's just fog. There isn't a destination on the other side. Well, let's have a look at a few things that prove that this isn't pie in the sky when you die. This is hope. This is certain. Not hope in the sense of, in Spanish, when you say, I'm waiting for a bus, you say, I'm hoping for a bus. And actually one of our friends, some of you know Harriet, she's out in Latin America at the moment, and sometimes she probably is hoping for a bus in the sense of wondering if it'll ever come. But hope, when the Bible uses it, is solid and it's certain. Let's look at a few verses. In Psalm 34, it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles." So when we cry out to God, when we cry out to Jesus, he will hear us and he will rescue us, even though there might be a wait between the now and the then. The Bible's very realistic about how there are troubles in this life. Even in those verses in Psalm 34, it speaks about how the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Yes, troubles now, even broken bones now, but one day, the great hope of heaven. It's a real hope, and it's built on reality because it's built on God's character and God's promise. And it's not just promise, but it's promise and the basis of the promise. Let me give you an example from the New Testament. We'll come back to this on Easter Day. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" So Jesus is giving a promise. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. But it's based on the reality of who he is. I am the resurrection and the life. The solid promise that there's a destination beyond the fog is built on Jesus, who he is. I am the resurrection and the life. It's dependent on Jesus that we will make it there when we put our hand in his hand. It's no good killing the man who has the power of life. And Good Friday, we'll be declaring to Huntingdon the good news that Jesus died for our sins. But then he rose to new life. He's the resurrection and the life. And the truth of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, by way of example, is that Christ has died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried to prove that. He rose, and he was witnessed by up to 500 people at one time. Have a look at the evidence to see that this is built on reality. The hope of heaven is built on reality, and this is really my main point this morning, it keeps us going through suffering. Florence Chadwick, the second time, she had the destination to look forward to. That verse that we began with at the beginning, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." It's like a massive pair of scales. And when we put suffering in one scale, it feels like Everest is in that scale. And at the time, that's what it feels like. But Paul says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." So yes, there's suffering. But in comparison with the hope of glory that we've got to look forward to, as we look back, yes, it'll feel very heavy now, but when we look back on our suffering, it doesn't even register on the scales. 2 Corinthians 4 is a chapter all about weakness and suffering and pain. And yet Paul is able to speak of our suffering as light and momentary troubles. This is the guy that's been shipwrecked, flogged, nearly lost his life multiple times, but he says they're light and momentary troubles. I'm not wanting to belittle anyone's suffering in any way, but compared with what we'll look back on from the new heaven and the new earth, just completely different scale. Remember Florence Chadwick? She couldn't see because of the fog. But when the fog was lifted and she did it the second time, she could see her destination, and that enabled her to keep going. And these verses from the Bible encourage us to keep going. I don't know what each of you is going through at the moment, but if you put your trust in Jesus's, if you put your hand in Jesus's hand, if you've put your trust in him, if you've turned to him, then he's promised to take you to the new heaven and the new earth, the beautiful country, the destination that is just a little way away. Well, just in the last couple of minutes, I'd like to just give you four bullet points for how we can help people in the suffering that they might be going through. And I'll just put these quickly on the screen and you can take them away on the handout afterwards. Maybe you've got a friend who's really struggling at the moment with something, what is the most helpful thing that you can do? Well, of course, the most powerful thing is pray. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we're going to have people available after the service today to pray with you if there's something in particular that is on your mind at the moment. And please do come forward. Others may want to grab a coffee or bring a coffee with you. We've got people available who are ready to pray with you to talk through whatever you're going through at the moment. Prayer. Secondly, listen. And we talked about this in our life group last week. One of the most helpful things you can do if someone is suffering is just to listen actively. Not shoving in your opinions and solutions at the earliest opportunity or telling the person how you know exactly what they're feeling, because you don't. No two people suffer in the same way. But listening, really listening and reflecting back to check that you've heard them rightly. There's an amazing power in simply listening to someone, and that really genuinely helps. James 1 verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You have two ears and one mouth, so use them in that proportion. Practical care. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So, practical care, actions and in truth. Might be wise to stop at one or two or three. As I said in previous weeks, sometimes we're too quick to theologize. But when the time is right, it might also be appropriate to share Bible truth with someone. Not your opinion of what that person needs, not your analysis of what's happened, but maybe just some simple Bible verses that focus on God, on his character, maybe on the hope of heaven. We often have a copy of this little booklet. I think there's some available on the way out. We keep a few copies of this every Sunday. So if you know someone who's perhaps particularly going through bereavement at the moment, do take one of these for them. It's written by a man called Simon Manchester, an Australian pastor. And he gives a little bit of his own story amongst lots of very helpful teaching in that booklet. And he said, once in the midst of a tragic family loss, someone wrote to me the words of Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. It didn't explain everything, but it reminded me of the rock of his character on which I could stand. So share the truth, and on the back page there's some ideas of verses that might help you or might help another person. So as we conclude this series, the hope of heaven is built on reality, and it keeps us going through suffering. Think of the destination, and it'll help you to keep going through the swimming through this life, and some practical ways in which we can help. We're going to finish now with a prayer and a song. So I'm going to invite the band to come on up, and another beautiful song for you to listen to that focuses on heaven. Beautiful song by the Gettys, There Is a Higher Throne. Let's finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your way is perfect. And though we don't understand the particular suffering that we or others we love may be going through, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you we can look back to your character in creation. We thank you we can look at this broken world and understand something of why suffering has come into the world. We thank you that we can look at the cross where we see Jesus dying with us and dying for us. And we can look forward to the great hope of heaven, which is not just pie in the sky when we die, but a true reality built on Jesus and his death and resurrection. Please help us in our suffering, and please help us to help others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.